Good morning and welcome to your Damascus Daily Prayer Lab. My name is Teresa and I'm a missionary here at Damascus, where we are seeking to awaken, empower, and equip a generation that lives the adventure of their faith. And this morning we're going to be diving into Luke chapter 24, verses 13 to 35. So we're going to just dive right in. Now that very day, two of them were going to a village 7 miles from Jerusalem called Emmaus, and they were conversing about all the things that had occurred. And it happened to them that while they were conversing and debating, Jesus himself drew near and walked with them. But their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing as you walk along?" They stopped, looking downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, said to him in reply, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know of the things that have taken place there in these days?" And he replied to them, "What sort of things?" They said to him, "The things that happened to Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, how our chief priests and rulers both handed him over to a sentence of death and crucified him. But we were hoping that he would be the one to redeem Israel. And besides all this, it is now the third day since this took place. Some women from our group, however, have astounded us. They were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body. They came back and reported that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who announced that he was alive. Then some of those with us went to the tomb and found things just as the women had described, but they did not see. And he said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are, how slow of heart to believe that all the prophets spoke. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' Then beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them what referred to him in all the scriptures. As they approached the village to which they were going, he gave the impression that he was going on farther. But they urged him, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening and the day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. And it happened that, while he was with them at table, he took bread, said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to them. With that, their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, but he vanished from their sight. Then they said to each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he spoke to us on the way and opened the scriptures to us?' So they set out at once and returned to Jerusalem, where they found gathered together the 11 and those with them who were saying, 'The Lord has truly been raised and has appeared to Simon.' Then the two recounted what had taken place on the way and how he was made known to them in the breaking of the bread." We see a lot taking place in this passage. Primarily, we see these two disciples who are on the road to Emmaus. And fittingly, the word Emmaus actually means earnest longing, which I think we can see in their example as they are trying to reconcile all of the life events that have taken place between Jesus' crucifixion and his resurrection and the different testimonies of the other apostles, as well as their experience and understanding of what Jesus came to do. And so they're trying to wrap their minds around this when they actually encounter Jesus himself on the road to Emmaus, but they don't realize it's him, and they're like, "Who are you that you don't know what's going on?" And so they're explaining to him the things that have taken place, but they say, "But we were hoping that he would be the one to redeem Israel. We were hoping." And we see in this phrase, they're downcast because they believe the plan to have fallen through. They go through and they tell Jesus all of the things that did happen, how they had walked with him, and how they're trying to wrap their minds about the empty tomb and Mary and the angels. But they say, "We were hoping that he was the one." And we see that Jesus calls them out of their blindness, and he says, "Don't you see? This is what the prophets said would happen, that the Messiah actually needed to die and rise again to be glorified, to bring salvation." And he goes through and he explains and he reminds them of all the scriptures and what they had spoken that would come to pass. And it's finally when they share communion together at supper that night, they realize that it's him. They realize, "Wait, this is Jesus. This is the one who spoke to us. This is the one who walked with us." And they're re-encouraged and revitalized. And they run to share this testimony. They actually run 7 miles back to the town they had come from pretty much at night because they can't wait until morning. They want to go and share it with the other disciples. And I think through this passage, the Lord wants to remind us that in the moments when we feel like his promises have fallen through, that he's actually still in the process of a great work. He says, Actually, I'm still working at hand. There's something going on behind the scenes that I know is happening and that you just need to be reminded of. And that when we are tried and cannot see, that it's actually in communion that we find him again, whether that's physically in the sacraments, reconciliation, the Mass, in receiving the Eucharist, or in community, maybe one another, the people around us are called to remind us of the promises that he's spoken. So Lord, we thank you for your words, for your scripture, and for your witness. And we ask that you would open our eyes to see you, our hearts to know you, and our ears to hear you, and that we would have the courage to remember and to believe in the promises that you have spoken. Thank you for joining us on your Damascus Daily Prayer Lab. For more information regarding our programs, you can visit damascus.net. Thank you, and God bless.